The sermon title in the bulletin is probably what many churches are using. The first Sunday of each year is often a time for casting a vision or setting forth some goals or some points of focus or emphasis. So at risk of being cliche, we'll talk about a 2020 vision here at Thompson Road and for Thompson Road in this new year. And it's probably not any surprise, I don't have to make any big reveal, thanks to the subtle reminders behind me of the indicators of what that theme might be of worship, learn, connect, and serve. Those aren't new concepts, that's not original, I'll admit. In fact, that's been the byline on many of our printed materials and our bulletins in recent years. And of course, each of these have been points of focus, as I understand, through the history of Thompson Road Baptist Church and the history of the Church Universal since her inception at Pentecost. These are purposes that God has for the church. And so we'll look this morning, and as the year goes on, how God wants us to return to focus in these areas if it's needed in your case, or to grow in these areas if there's room for that in your case. I know there's room for that in my case. And these are timeless core values. I like what one church said. They said, we're not old-fashioned. We're not traditional as in 50 years ago. We're timeless as in 2,000 years ago. And that's what these themes are that we'll use as points of focus for a 2020 vision. Areas that we're all aware of that we ought to constantly be growing in. So it's not an idea of casting a vision of doubling our church attendance or building a new auditorium or starting a satellite church today, but just seeking how God would have us to help us to assess where we are and our church involvement in these specific areas, and where he might want us to increase and to grow and to stretch and to make some progress spiritually in our discipleship journey in 2020. Many of you have been saved for years, longer than I've been alive, some of you, and you can look back and see God's work in your life year after year. And sometimes we can feel that more of that is behind us than in front of us. But I want to encourage you that couldn't it be that God's desire for you just may be that 2020 would be your most spiritually fruitful year yet? A large part of that will be determined by your approach, what you choose to invest, how you choose to be plugged in, and not to be satisfied with where you are spiritually, not to be satisfied with your personal walk with God, your time with Him in the Word and in prayer, not to be satisfied with where you are in your church involvement, but to look for what that next step might be. That was the example that was set forth for us, even by the Apostle Paul, a man who was more spiritually fruitful than most of us can imagine being in our lives, but it was he who wrote in Philippians 3, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't arrived. I haven't attained, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. So I want to invite you this morning to have some honest self-assessment. Where am I in my church involvement? Could God desire for me this year to take a next step? And we'll look at what that next step might be and challenge you, encourage you, hopefully through God's Word motivate you to prayerfully seek to take that next step. And then at the end of the service, I want to invite you to we'll join our hearts in prayer and just ask God's blessing and ask for His guidance and commit the year to Him through prayer. Even as we begin this morning, let's pray together and ask for His help. Dear Lord, we know that, as Your Word tells us, unless You build the house, we labor in vain by building it. And unless You keep a city, the watchman awakes but in vain, that we can do nothing of our own strength. And in fact, if we try to act in a way independently of you or against your will for us, or in a way that it falls short of your will for us, we can actually do damage to your cause and our walk with you. So, Lord, we ask for humility. We ask for open hearts, open minds, open ears to be able to look at your word, to be sensitive to the leading of your Spirit, so that we can see what you have for us in your word and in the coming years, that we could commit, regroup, and get plugged in to the growth in discipleship that is your will for each one of us. We ask for this help in Jesus' name. Amen. God's desire for each of us is to be saved, to trust Christ as Savior and have our sins forgiven. If you've made that decision, you've become a Christian, which means that you are a disciple of Christ, a Christ one, a follower of Him. He called 12 disciples that we read about in the Gospels, but on a broader sense, multitudes of people there in the Gospels are referred to as disciples, and it's His desire for us, as He told His 12, if any man would be my disciple, let him deny himself daily and take up his cross and follow me. So He has a cross for each of us to bear. He has goals for us to accomplish. He has a desire for each of us to be growing in that discipleship journey. Discipleship is a lifelong process. And so we always want to be looking where God wants us to become a closer disciple to Him. Again, it takes place in our personal walk, in our private devotional life. But today we'll talk about the role that church plays, that God intends for the church to play in that discipleship process for you and for me. Many people don't see much value in coming to church. I talked to a guy here in the lobby just on Friday who said, I don't go to church. Really, there's so many beliefs out there. I'm afraid to hear something that disagrees with what I grew up hearing, even if I'm wrong, he said. And people will find excuses to stay out of church because they're too busy or they're too tired or they don't feel good. One guy told me, I can't come because I don't have the cleanest language and I'm afraid something might slip out and so I shouldn't be at church. Or people say, I can't come to church because I haven't been living a holy life. Well, church is the solution, part of God's solution for that. We don't come as perfect people to be polished. We come as wounded warriors for healing. We come as broken sinners to be mended, to be healed, and to get guidance from God. And so we come to church first because God commands it. Hebrews 10:25, a very familiar verse, that we're not to forsake the assembling, the gathering of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Do you know, if you read in the book of Acts, the days of the early church, the disciples gathered together daily. Followers of Christ were in each other's houses, from house to house, and even in the temple or the synagogue daily, trying to grow in their walk with the Lord as a corporate body. And as history has gone on, church attendance has tapered off, and we're in an age now where it's getting less and less frequent, and people who study statistics and trends say that in the coming year, church attendance will continue to decline across our nation. But the writer of Hebrews says, not forsaking, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. As history unfolds, in God's perspective, church attendance becomes more and more important. Church involvement is more and more important. The expectation throughout the New Testament, in fact, is that Christians will be part of this regular gathering. In fact, if you read the New Testament with that point of view, you see that from Christ's great commission and ascension in the early verses of Acts, all the way to the pages of Revelation and the rapture of the church and the future events, the whole New Testament is church-oriented. It's a covenant about what God has done through the church, is doing through the church, wants to do through the church, and will do through the church, and He has a role in that for each one of us. That's why our church covenant, our church constitution, outlines that faithful church attendance is an expectation for membership, that is important. Some find it hard and can say that, well, when I come, I don't feel like it's been particularly beneficial to me. And so there are those barriers and schedules and health and other things that can get in the way. And so we can ask the question, you know, God says we should come to church. You know, kids don't like just to hear from their parents, well, because I said so. So why does God want us to come to church? Well, there are probably several answers there, but I think four of the obvious ones that can kind of summarize why God wants us here is because God wants us to worship corporately. God wants us to learn more about His Word. God wants us to connect as His spiritual family, and God wants us to serve. So let's look at a scripture reference. We'll go to different parts of the Bible for each of those just to kind of set a foundation. And as the year progresses, we'll give more careful attention to each of those. But first, I invite you to John chapter 4. The Gospel of John and chapter 4, as we talk about this first, and in many ways a primary focus of worship. When we talk about worship, we're talking about our desire as a church to exalt God by offering meaningful expressions of praise. It's that posture mentally and spiritually that Pastor Jeremy referenced, that we come to church, we know it's not just about us, it's not for our benefit primarily, it's so that we can worship God as He has commanded. It is about Him. And so we want to exalt Him through meaningful expressions of praise. In John chapter 4, Jesus is talking to a woman, a Samaritan woman at the well, who's unsaved and who doesn't understand true worship. And there's a controversy about worship in her days, just as there are controversies in ours. And she says to Jesus in verse 20 of John chapter 4, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." She was confused about worship. Jesus wanted her to know that more and more, now that the new covenant was on the cusp of its inception, that worship was not going to be about a location anymore. In old covenant worship, the temple was the center, the geographic center of worship, the symbol of God's presence. And Jesus is teaching us through His interaction with the woman at the well that phase was ending, that it wasn't going to be about location anymore. Here's what it's about instead, verse 21. "Woman, believe me," or "Madam, believe me, the hour comes when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." In verse 23, "The hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him." God is a spirit, or God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Worship is a biblical mandate. In fact, Jesus says, God the Father is looking for people to worship in an appropriate way. That it's all too rare, that God created us to glorify Him, but most don't take the time and the effort and the sacrifice to do it. And so the Father is seeking worshipers, people who will worship in spirit, not just with our lips, not just with our physical presence, but from our hearts and in truth. That our worship should be doctrinally centered and spirit-driven so that God will be exalted through our meaningful expressions of praise. Worship may be the primary focus as we come together as a corporate body is to directly exalt God through our expressions of praise to Him. When we pray, we're worshiping. When we give offerings, we're worshiping. When we sing these hymns together, it's not to pass time. It's not because we enjoy it. It's to be a sweet-smelling savor, going up to God as an expression of praise to Him. Our Sunday morning service is set aside, always has been as far as I know. It's called morning worship. It's the worship service. Our main offering is in the morning. We have a little extra music. The choir special is in the morning. And the preaching is more worship-oriented. We're offering things to God. And so that's a focus for a Sunday morning service is worship. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3 as we move on to the focus of learn. God wants us to learn. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And with this focus of learn, we mean that our attempt is that we study, preach, and teach the Bible to understand and obey God's Word. We want to understand and obey God's Word. To do that, we must learn. 2 Timothy 3, a familiar passage at the end of the chapter, beginning in verse 14. Paul writes to Timothy and says, 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." That's our desire as we come together, that God would use the holy scripture to make us wise so that we can learn these things unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And the rationale is given in verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the woman of God, may be perfect or mature, complete, truly furnished unto all good works. We come to church because there's a lot to learn from God's Word. We want to learn because God has inspired it to equip us, to furnish us, to mature us, to be believers that will honor Him with our lives. The Scriptures are able to make us wise to salvation. They're able to rebuke us where we're wrong, correct us, and show us the path that we ought to go, and instruct us in the way of righteousness. We come to church in order to learn. In this new year, we're going to try to make that more of an emphasis for our Sunday evening service time. So when we learn new songs, or maybe we learn a verse together, that'll be in the evening service. Or we take a closer look, like a verse-by-verse look at a specific book of the Bible, or a little more detailed approach to a specific doctrine or topic, then in our evening service, we come ready to learn and dig into God's Word together. For a third passage, let's go to the book of Acts. Acts in chapter 2, our earliest history of the infant church. In Acts chapter 2, very instructive for us as we see how things started. Acts chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading in verse 41 and look again at the end of the chapter for the third focus, and that is connect. Connect. And when we say connect, we mean that our attempt is to cultivate an environment for unified fellowship of believers as a spiritual family in Christ. God didn't design us to be independent. He didn't design us to be spiritual hermits. He designed that we could cultivate an environment here in the church for unified fellowship of believers as a spiritual family in Christ. It's always been a point of emphasis at Thompson Road. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 41. Talking about the early church, the Bible says that they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And so these new believers, what would they do? Verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Okay, so there's some learning of truth there. And here's a connect word, fellowship, and in breaking of bread, although there can be food involved, and in prayers. Okay, so actually, if you look at verse 42, you've got doctrine, so preaching and teaching. Fellowship, that's connecting together. Breaking of bread, that's food, and praying. Yeah, it's basically, this verse is why I'm a Baptist. This describes the Baptist church. We preach and teach. We fellowship together. There's often food involved, and we pray together. That's God's design from the early days of the church. Verse 44 says, all that believed were together and had all things common, even sharing amongst themselves. In verse 46, they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness. And look at this, singleness of heart. Singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Many terms and phrases throughout that passage that refer to the connection that God has designed for us to enjoy as believers. You see the word fellowship in that concept throughout the New Testament. The word unity in that concept emphasized throughout the New Testament instructions for the church. God designed for us to be an organism, members of one body, which has Christ as her head. And so we connect, we cultivate an environment for unified fellowship of believers as a spiritual family in Christ. In 2020, we're going to try to make that just a little bit more of an emphasis for our Wednesday night service time. And even in recent weeks here, we've kind of gathered around tables, broke some bread, split off into small groups for prayer, and had some discussion and made it more conducive for fellowship to try to facilitate God's people connecting. I don't want to always be that way or that format, but Wednesday nights, if you haven't been here, are a little bit more of an intimate setting. The Awana groups are scattered in different rooms by grade throughout the building, but then for an adult Bible study and prayer meeting, we're back here in the Grace Place, and it lends itself a little bit more to connecting. When we have our host home fellowships every couple of months, that's geared toward helping people to connect and fellowship. And that's a church service. That's biblical. In fact, it's what we see here in Acts 2, that from house to house, they broke bread and shared these spiritual bonds together. Fourth and finally, we go to 1 Corinthians, please. Just one verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We want to worship. We want to learn. God wants us to connect, and he also wants us to serve. When we talk about serve, we mean that we desire to use our spiritual gifts to reach the lost and to edify believers. God has a service for each believer, and those have to do with reaching the lost and edifying the believer. Some people, when they think of serving God, they think of something that takes place just between us and him, as if to serve God means to go off in a remote location or to live in solitude in a monastery or up on a mountain or to climb 1,000 steps on our knees or to rotate beads in our hands. These things are not the kind of service God calls us to in the New Testament. All of the service that we see described and instructed for us in the New Testament is horizontally oriented. God wants us to serve him by serving others, by sharing Christ and the good news with the lost, and by edifying believers so that disciples can be growing. And so we need to serve. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Paul's desire for the Corinthian church and God's desire for Thompson Road Baptist Church is that we would be always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor doesn't return vain, that it's not in vain in the Lord. Labor and work don't sound fun. They don't come easy, but they are required wherever progress is to be made. And so we can't stop after those first three steps. We want also to serve. So if Sunday morning is a focus of worship, and maybe we tweak it a little more toward learning in the evening service and the Wednesday service, we tried to connect a little extra. Where does service take place? Well, it needs to be, of course, through all of it. that we come to church ready to serve. At each service, we can serve by reaching out to each other. We can serve by welcoming visitors. We can serve by helping to make sure our facility is excellent for the Lord. And we serve in weekly ministries. Many of you are already involved in ministries, either with the youth department or the security team or the sound booth or the music ministries or many other areas that we ought to be serving. And so those are the four points of focus, and we see some scriptural basis for those that, again, we'll look closer at as the year progresses here. But for our purposes this morning, where we're going with this is to try to help us corporately and as individual disciples to grow in that discipleship process and to see what our next step is. Growth is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. There's no instant download. We don't believe in a second work of grace where suddenly through some experience with God are now surrendered and aren't drawn to sin anymore. No, growth takes place, as the Bible describes it, moment by moment, day by day, as we're walking with God gradually from glory to glory, from one degree to another, being transformed into the image of God's Son. It's a lifelong process. So we want to encourage you in 2020 to take the next step in that discipleship process. What does that mean? Okay, so for each of us, what is that next step? If you find yourself this morning in a position where you'd say, yeah, I would like to grow closer to God in 2020. I would like to take that next step discipleship-wise. I would like to get more involved, more plugged in, more committed to what He has for me, both in my personal walk with Him and in my church involvement. What's the next step? Here it comes, okay? But before I kind of get on a soapbox about that, maybe some disclaimers that have already kind of been red flags in your mind. One is, the Bible doesn't say that you ought to go to church 3 times a week or 2 times a week or 8 times a week. The Bible doesn't tell us that. You can miss some services and still be saved and still be growing in the Lord and still be a mature believer. And by contrast, you could come to every single service every time the door is open and still be immature spiritually or even unsaved. So being here doesn't equate to spiritual growth. It merely facilitates it. And sometimes there are situations genuinely beyond our control that would keep us from being as involved in church as we'd like. There probably aren't as many legitimate ones as our minds would rationalize us into telling us, but they are out there. And finally, it's not about guilt. I never want to motivate anyone to do anything by guilt. If you came to church more because you felt guilty, then I failed. We're here in the wrong spirit. It's not about making any of the pastors happy. Never come to church for that reason. I don't think anyone would. It's about setting forth an ideal, making settings of edification available, and then calling you to higher ground by encouraging you to get plugged in those areas. Okay, so what's your next step? Well, for some, the first step might be worship. If you're not coming regularly on Sunday mornings, I want to encourage you to take that next step to make worship, not just by yourself, but as a corporate body of believers. God is seeking such to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and He sets it forth, as we'll see in coming weeks, to permeate the church. The church's function is to worship Him, and He wants you to be involved in that. So I encourage you to make Sunday morning worship a priority in your schedule, in your heart, in your mind, to worship, to come and offer those meaningful expressions of praise to God. If you're missing that, you're neglecting something that God considers to be of great value for His glory, for your personal growth and enrichment, and for the edification of those around you. I can't explain all of that, but God says it's important. And hey, here you are, so you have perfect Sunday morning attendance for the year. All right, keep that going. I want to encourage you, keep that going just as long as you can. Maybe you've developed that habit. You're faithful on Sunday mornings, but for whatever reason in your life stage, that's just kind of as far as you've gotten with it. Well, if you're one here this morning that says, yeah, in 2020, I'd like to grow. I'd like to increase. I'd like to make progress in my discipleship with God. Well, as far as your church involvement, the next step I would urge you on to is to think about, to talk to God about, to talk to your spouse about, talk to your boss about, coming back on Sunday nights for a learn service. It's not a repeat service. I know at some churches, there's the 10 o'clock, the 11 o'clock, and the 12 o'clock, and no matter which one you go to, you'll sing the same songs and hear the same sermon. When we pass this bulletin out, it's got the schedule on, where's the schedule? It's on the front. And that really is intended to be a schedule, not a menu, where we'd say, well, this one works good for me, I'll do that one. We want to offer all of those to you and encourage you, if you haven't been coming on Sunday nights, to start to come on Sunday nights. You might say, well, if it's about learning, that sounds kind of tedious, or that sounds kind of heavy, or it's about learning, I'm older than the pastor and the assistant pastor put together. What could I stand to learn by coming back to a learn service? Well, aren't you thankful that when we're talking about God's Word, there is always more to learn? And even if some messages kind of miss the mark, or we sing a hymn here or there that didn't quite resonate to teach you some doctrine, as some of those hymns are designed to do, that at least every time you come, that you would at least take away one nugget. And if that were to help you a little bit, to bolster you against a temptation later that week, or to help to instruct you toward a wiser decision months down the road, I feel like that would be worth it, that would be a good investment, a next step for you to take to consider being involved on Sunday nights for a learn service. You can learn more by coming to Sunday school. Sunday school is kind of geared that same way, to take a deeper look, a closer examination of kind of the micro of elements of the Christian faith. Okay? Now some of you, okay, well, that's your next step. If you're interested, if God's moving you toward that, I want to encourage you, make that commitment for 2020. Others of you have taken that step. Your Sunday morning and Sunday evening, what's my next step? Well, you can see where this is going. I would encourage you to connect a little bit more, and you can come on Wednesday nights and make that a priority. Be part of the Bible study and the prayer time. It really is a valuable time for God's people gathering back together on Wednesday evening. It's a work day. It's a weekday. I'm thankful we have some people, they come straight from work, wolf down some supper, and show up in their work clothes, and that's fine. That might be what it takes to get you here, and you might even get here and feel like, well, didn't feel like a great investment of my time, but our belief and our goal and what we strive for is that God is going to use it in your discipleship journey in some way. And as your heart is more plugged in, he's going to use that to grow you as a disciple. It's not that if you're not here, you can't be growing. Please don't understand that I'm not trying to come across that way. But if you're looking, if you're desiring to grow, that's available to you. I want to encourage you to prayerfully consider how you could be involved there. Well, what if you're already coming to two services a week or even three services in the week? Well, you know by now what your next step is going to be. If you want to grow, if you want to increase, if you want to make progress in your discipleship journey this year, to get involved in serving, to find a weekly ministry that God would have to you to pour out and invest in others. I could put it this way, we ought to be conduits, not reservoirs. See, if I come to Sunday morning and worship and feel enriched from that experience, and I come on Sunday nights and I learn and I'm taking in and I'm logging away, and then I come and connect and benefit from that horizontal relationship. I'm edified by my fellow believers. But it stops there, that I'm a reservoir. And God didn't design for us just to, again, just to go through our Christian life and be polished until we can be secluded in our homes and have all kinds of Bible knowledge. There's no crowns in heaven for Bible quizzing. We ought to be serving. We ought to be outlets. We ought to be conduits of that which God is pouring into us that we could invest in others. it goes from the connect into the serve. That part of that connecting is the many one another passages of the Bible where we are instructed to serve one another, to confess our faults to one another, to pray for one another, to teach and admonish one another, to exhort each other. And that takes place as we connect, and it takes place as we serve. We ought to be serving in outreach ways. That's what VBS is about. That's what our missions program is about. That's what the track rack is about. That's what we have the opportunities every day of the week to serve the church, to serve God by serving others, seeking to reach the lost and edify believers. All of these things, worshiping, learning, connecting, serving, can take place outside of church and should. But in terms of the corporate body, what God's doing through this age in history, the church age, that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it so that he could redeem it, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing to present it to himself as holy, this is what God's doing. He wants for each of us to be part of it. And I think he'd be pleased for us to be part of it just as much as we possibly can. I realize that can also get flipped around, that sometimes we find ourselves serving and not doing some of the earlier steps, and there's a danger there too, because this is how it can happen. Well, I volunteered for a service, so now I'm on the security schedule, or I'm on the nursery schedule, or I'm on a sound booth rotation or something like that, but I missed a day because it was a snow day, or I was sick, or just took a personal day, and wow, seemed like there was so much extra time. I had such an extended weekend. It was so nice just to unwind on Sunday, maybe get some stuff done or spend time with some people. So next Sunday rolls around, and it's easy to go, I don't know if I really feel the energy to go back again today. And the next week rolls around, and I say, well, I'm on the security schedule, so I have to be there today. And before we know it, we're in a pattern of only showing up when we're serving, and that's not right. It's not healthy. We can't be pouring out in a way that will please God, in a way that does justice to those we're serving and to him we serve, if we're not allowing him to pour into us through those other stages of church involvement. Maybe that's not like you. Maybe you're like Jerry Carrier, who was sick last week, and Jerry said, Sunday was so long and dull, I was too sick to come to church, and I hate football, so it was just a terrible day. Hopefully that's where you're at, where you just want to be in church, and you find yourself lost if you're not. I've left a few of you out now, because some of you are doing all four of these steps and doing it faithfully. Here at the services, serving, some of you in multiple ministries. What's your next step? Well, first of all, thank you. Second, we recognize that it's not a four-rung stepladder, but it's a lifelong cycle. That if you've got through those four stages and you've worshiped and learned and connect and serve faithfully, that your next step is to worship and then to learn and connect and to serve and to continue. I want to encourage you, continue in the faithful pattern that you have set. Thank you for your example. Continue in that. Invest in that. Get plugged in, even at a greater level. So when you come to Sunday morning now, you're saying, I am here intentionally to worship. I'm not just here, I'm going to exalt God through meaningful expressions of praise. And when I come on Sunday night, I'm ready to learn something. I might take notes or bring something back later in the week that I can make a reference to. I'm committed to learning. I'm going to do better in each of these four steps. When I come on Wednesday night, I'm going to reach out to someone. I'm going to invest in someone's life. I'm going to get to know someone better and fellowship. And I'm going to serve with a renewed vigor and energy and commitment to what God has called me to. So if we all do our part here, it doesn't overflow our pews. What happens is right now our Sunday morning is our best attended service. It's about half of that on Sunday night, a little lower still on Wednesday. We can't control who comes and who doesn't. We'd love to see 500 people here, but that's not in our control. What we can control is how involved am I going to be? And our prayer is that through this year we'll see God even out those numbers some, as some people answer that call to be a little bit more involved. Just one more thing. We want to avoid the pitfall of self-righteousness. So remember, It's not about external conformity. It's not about, wow, I came to 2 services this week, so I'm more spiritual. I came to 3 services this week, so I'm extra spiritual. I came to 3 services and was involved in a ministry service, so I am super duper spiritual. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. We can do those things and be far from God. We have examples of that in Scripture. We can be doing those things when we're prevented from some of those steps in the corporate gathering and be close to God. So it's not about that. Please, please, if you're still like in step one or trying to get to step one, don't hide from me at the supermarket because you're like, oh, I'm just haven't come to like he wants me to come to you. It's not about that. It's not like that. It's about here's what's available. This edification for those who want to make progress in their spiritual growth journey in terms of church involvement. You now know your next step. Ask God what he wants you to do with that. And our hope and trust is that as you choose to get plugged in, and to be involved, that you'll find, not after 1 week or after 1 month, but that over the course of a faithful length of time, that God is using this for good in your life, for benefit to others, and ultimately for his glory. Let's pray together, and I invite you during this prayer time to join your hearts with me as we pray for God's hand of blessing, for God's guidance, for his ministry here at Thompson Road, our personal family lives, our community, our country and our planet, that God would be at work. Let's commit 2020 to our God. Dear Lord, you are God of the ages. You are the one that history is about. It began with you, and it culminates in all being brought to subjection before you and those who you have chosen, praising you throughout all eternity. Lord, you are great. And this is all about you. It's by Christ and in him and through him and for him. And so we ask that that would be our heartbeat, that we would not get captivated by earthly endeavors, that we would not get held back by excuses or rationalizations, but that each of us would see crystal clearly what growth you have for us in this coming year, what our next step is, and how you would have us to be more involved as a disciple in your church. Lord, we pray for your hand on your church here at Thompson Road, that you would grow us numerically, individually, spiritually. We want you to be praised, Lord. So work in and through us, we pray. Pray for each of us who are pastors, those who are deacons, you'd keep them faithful in their ministries, protect them from harm physically and spiritually so that they can do what you've called them to. Lord, we thank you for our Sunday school teachers, our Awana workers, our child care team, our bus team. We pray that you'd strengthen each one of them and help them to have the courage, the motivation, the health, the spiritual vigor to continue in those ministries. And Lord, may the subjects of those ministries, may we see our young people grow, people getting saved and added to the church and becoming more like you. Pray for our security team, our sound booth workers, our treasurers and clerks and custodians. And we thank you for those who volunteered labor and expertise to remodel a restroom here at the end of last year, and those who decorate and prepare meals and reach out to missionaries and house guests and mow the lawn and plow the parking lot. Lord, we pray that they'd continue in their ministry. You bless them for that and raise up others to help with the serving. We pray for our community, Lord, that we would have open eyes and open hearts to opportunities to invite friends to church, to invite, even as opportunity allows, strangers to church or to share the gospel and to be a light. Lord, help us to have an impact here in our Jerusalem. We pray for our missionaries around the world that you'd uphold and strengthen each one. Enable us, Lord, to continue to supporting them financially and prayerfully. And may they see fruit from their labors. Lord, we pray for our country as we enter an election year. We pray for your hand of guidance. We pray that as you have done so many times in history, that you would rise up someone who would stand for biblical values to maintain or to regain or to come into offices of leadership in the United States this year. We pray for our president, that you would protect him, give him wisdom, teach him in the way that he ought to go, and help him to stand for what is right. Our vice president, that he'd be faithful to you and his testimony as a believer. We pray for our senators, for Todd Young and for Mike Braun, that you would help them to uphold biblical values and do what is right. We pray for your protection on them, and for Governor Eric Holcomb, that your hand would be on him, that he would make good and just decisions. We pray for our mayor, Joe Hogsett, and our new chief of police, Randall Taylor, that you would help them to make just decisions and wise decisions and teach them to honor you with the offices they've been called to. Lord, may each one of us honor you with the stations you've called us to, the stewardship that you've entrusted to us to be a light for you. May we seek your glory, and may you grow us toward it in 2020. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.